Today's scripture reading comes from Romans 15, 7 to 13. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, in him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. This morning, I'm going to talk on the thrill of hope. It is important that as human, we need to have hope to live, to continue to fight, to struggle. 2 years and 2.5 years ago, when the pandemic first started, and I wasn't sure when the church was first closed, nobody can come to the church except the staff. And I wasn't quite sure what I should pray for. I wasn't quite sure this will last for 10 years. I'm not sure if most of the people in the world will die, and not sure that I will live long enough to see the church reopen. So I wasn't quite sure what I should hope for. And I was a bit in quick despair. And when you do not know what you are hoping for, right now I know what I hope for. I hope that all the people from Zoom will come back. And I think most of them will. Some of them will. And the church has changed in the 2.5 years. And I wrote a note to the elders last night. I said that we're actually coming out of the pandemic stronger, younger, because most of the people here are young people. We have more potential to grow. Friday night, we have the Cantonese Young Family Fellowship, similar to our modern family. There were over 100 people, with, including kids, like a small church. The church has changed because we have a lot more newcomers to the church, more kids, more teens, that they will eventually come to our English congregation. So now I know what to hope for. But 2.5 years ago, I wasn't quite sure what I should hope for, pray for. And it is important. If we do not know what we are hoping for, we'll be in despair. We'll be lost. I read this poem. I translated it into English. So it may not be a perfect translation. Because there is tomorrow, the night does not feel long. For some of those of us who are troubled in sleeping, cannot sleep at night, it's really painful, isn't it? Most of the time I don't have problem in sleeping, going to sleep. My problem is trying to get up in the morning. That's my problem. But once in a while I have a sleepless night. And when I could not sleep at night, I have to look for hope for the morning. And I know that there will be tomorrow. So when there's Hey, tomorrow, when you know that the sun will come up, the night does not feel that long. Because they are dreams, the future is no longer confused. Because there is hope, pain is buried. Now, the author of the poem somehow is associating pain with hope. So that means you are hoping for something to get out of this painful situation. Tomorrow is the agent for eternity. Dream is the navigation of success. And hope is the guarantee of strength. So the author of this poem is probably struggling in life. He's probably having a tough time. So hope helped him to get out of this situation, difficult situation. We all need to have hope. Without hope, we probably don't have any meaning, urge to live. And I'm sure all of you have watched videos of Nick Vujicic. I hope I pronounced his name right. Or read his books. And he was born without arms and legs. So you can see the challenge, the situation he's in. If I'm born like that, I probably will feel that my life is hopeless. But as you all know, if you know a little bit more about him, you know, from YouTube, from videos, and you know that he is actually an evangelist. He is a motivational speaker. That's what his job is. He's going to motivate other people, to encourage people. And if you and I, born with such great disability, we probably need other people to encourage us. But instead, he said that I was never crippled until I lost hope. So hope is so important for us, for everybody. We all have hope. People have hope. Otherwise, but our hope cannot go beyond our imagination, comprehension. We can only hope, pray for something that we can conceive in our mind. We can pray, hope for a better career, a promotion in our job. But our hope cannot exceed our imagination. I hope to be the manager of the department, director of engineering. Our hope cannot go beyond our imagination. We hope to have a house this big. We hope to have a nice car, a red Corolla or a Subaru. Our hope cannot go beyond our imagination. But in the Bible, God has a much bigger hope, a hope that is beyond human imagination. The word hope in Old Testament, there are three words, but mainly there are two of similar meaning. Yacha. Yacha meaning is to wait or to be patient. This word appeared 48 times in the Old Testament. It's waiting, waiting. Most of the time, Yacha is used for waiting on God, waiting on His word, promises, or actions. The other word is interesting, Tikwa or Kawa. It's a similar meaning. This word actually means in tying a cord, a rope, a string. But most of the time, is translated as hope. But once a while, in Joshua 2:18, it actually translated as tying a rope. So it is interesting, this word, when you tie a rope, a cord, of course, there's tension in it. right? So that means this word waiting has a feeling of tension. So when you wait to expect to look, there is a nervousness, tension, excitement to wait for. And in the New Testament, elpis is an expectation of what is guaranteed. So there is a guarantee that what you hope for will come. And this word, the elpis, used 50 times in the New Testament. So the Bible has a different expectation, meaning when it used the word hope. Today we read Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope, the God of hope. So Paul here is talking about the hope that come from God, not from our human comprehension, imagination, expectation, which cannot go beyond our mind. We can only think so great, so big, right? We cannot hope for something that we have never seen or never heard of. Human's imagination is very limited. We cannot create things that we have never comprehended. But then you say, how about a unicorn? We have never seen a unicorn, right? So how come a human's mind created unicorn? But whatever we created is a combination of things that we have seen before, right? We have seen animals, and then we combine together and created a new animal. We cannot create something we have never comprehended, we have never seen. Our creation is only a combination of things that we have already experienced. But here God is giving us a new hope, a kind of hope that is beyond human comprehension, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. He's talking about his salvation. It's beyond human comprehension. It's a salvation that will not perish. Eternal life. And eternal life in heaven. We serve in heaven for all of us who believe in him. Things we want on this earth will perish, fade away. When I was young, I liked running. That was my hobby. Not jogging, but it's running 100 meters. So I like that. I just like the feeling of speeding, you know, like pressing on the gas pedal and charging down that 100 meter stretch. But whatever things I want, I could not even find them. I don't even know where they are. Now, after so many years, it was a long time since I run. But whatever I want, anything I want, I could not find them. Not one of them. When I was in high school, I won an award in physics. I still have that certificate on the wall. But I don't look at it that often now. When I first got it, I was really excited. I bought a frame, put it on the wall, look at it many times a day. But now I don't even, it's in the basement now. I don't even look at it. I worked hard. I think I did well in my career, engineering career. But I left my job 6 years now. No one called me from work now, except the other day I bumped into someone from another engineering company, asked me if I want to do some consulting, even a few hours. They will pay me well. I said, no, I don't even have time for my church work. Never mind doing engineering. Whatever we accomplish, we after some time, we don't look at it again. But God here has a hope for us that is for eternity. We serve in heaven for us. It's that eternal life. Whatever it appears to us that is challenges in life, suffering, difficult circumstances, and even health issues. But when we look at this eternal hope, we can bear the suffering. There are many things we hope for, good times that we hope for, but there's one thing that we can never hope for, that is that we get younger each year. All of us will get older. All of us will get weaker. No one is an exception. No matter how successful we are, one day we'll all die. No one can win over death. So when there's death, all our other earthly hopes becomes insignificant. But the hope that God promised us is beyond death, because Christ has resurrected. So we may die, but we will live again. So this is the eternal hope that God promised us. But while we are waiting for this hope, the Bible says that we have to suffer, because we live on this earth that is imperfect. This earth has been corrupted because sin entered this world. But we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Sin entered into this world and brought imperfection into earth, into this universe. So not only people, human, have to suffer, even all the creatures. Billy Graham said, the Bible says that as Christians, we don't grieve the same way people do who have no hope of eternity and of heaven, but we still grieve. So while we are waiting for this eternal hope, unfortunately, we still have to quote-unquote suffer. Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation has been growing as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So here, world creation are not just the human, even the trees, the animals, the environment, the whole earth. Sometimes we ask, you know, why did God create such an imperfect environment? Why do we have this global warming or this or that, you know, natural disasters? Because when sin enter into the world become imperfect, corrupted. So all the creatures are suffering together with us. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our body. That's why we all have to face death one day. Doesn't mean that we cannot hope that we'll get better, stronger, younger tomorrow. No, because of sin. So that's why the whole universe, including the nature, has to suffer. But yet, in Romans 12, 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Joy and peace. Isn't this contradicting? Isn't this a paradox? One time, on one hand, the book of Romans, the Bible tells us that while we're waiting for this eternal hope, you know, the eternal salvation, we suffer. And then here, the same author, Paul, tells us that filled with joy, with this hope, it is a paradox. And this is the mystery that we Christians, we can suffer, but yet full of joy. It is contradicting, but this is the mystery of salvation. We read verse 9, 10, 11, and 12 before 13. Verse 9 is actually a quotation from Psalm 18:49. I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. The next verse is a quotation from Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him. From Psalm 1171. Why Paul was quoting these Old Testament scriptures of praise? So Paul trying to tell people, us, that while they are waiting in the Old Testament, they're waiting for the Messiah to come, which is in the next verse. The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. That's from Isaiah 11:10. So while they're waiting in the Old Testament for the Messiah to come, they wait with a joyful heart. They were praising God while they're waiting for the Messiah to come in the Old Testament. So today, while we're waiting to meet Jesus, our heart should be filled with praise. We should sing grace to the Lord. We can, while we are suffering, we can be filled with joy when you believe in him. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You have to believe. You have to trust God. If today you are in a challenging time, I don't know what it is, in a difficult situation, maybe it is a relationship. You're in a bad relationship. You're in a bad financial situation, bad health, you're suffering. Yes, you're looking for the hope of God in the future. But Pastor Norman, that's in the future. You're talking about the heaven. But right now, I am suffering. Today, I don't even know if I can go to sleep tonight. It's good, I believe, all these things you talk about in the future. But how about today, tomorrow, next week? I have to face all these life difficulties. Here Paul said that you can be filled with joy. This is not the future. He's talking about present. Fill you with all joy, not just a little bit of joy, but all joy and peace. Right now, not in the future. The Bible is not teaching us suffer now and stay in pain. Just wait for until you die and see Jesus. That's not really encouraging. No, the scripture tells us you can have all the joy and peace right now while you are in this world of sorrow. There will never be peace on this earth, the Bible will tell us. There will never be true peace between countries. We hope that there will be peace in Europe, but then the war will just move to another place. If you live old enough, you will notice that there wasn't a day of peace on earth. There's always war going on. But Paul said that this peace and joy is right now if you believe and trust the Lord. So you can have peace and joy while you're going through life's trials. But you need to believe, trust, knowing that his promises will be fulfilled. And many years ago, when my two children are young, I can never remember. When I say young, I cannot remember the age. I can only remember the height. So when Christopher was about this tall, Grace about this tall, so that's how old they were. So Cynthia and I, we went to the Richmond Market for the first time, probably the last time. We don't go there that often. But we want to take the kids there to see how exciting the Richmond Market is. And in those days, we don't have a cell phone. I think cell phone just first coming out. So Cynthia and my wife took Grace, and then they said they'll go look at other things, and then Chris and I. And then I said, okay, how are we going to meet? we don't have a cell phone. Okay, we're going to meet under this sign here at a certain time. So Chris and I came back, and then we stood there, and then, okay, they are late, okay. So after half an hour, okay, they're not here yet. Okay, then we start thinking, should we start go out and look for them? Or maybe they got lost. That kind of lost. I mean, it's not that big, right? Eventually, you will come back to, you walk around a few times, you will pass us. So we were hesitating. I said we should go and look for them. And then Chris said, no, Mom said, we'll wait for her here. We'll wait here. And then she just stood there. So after 1 hour and 10 minutes, they are not back. Then I said, but we continue to wait. So eventually they came back. Don't ask me why they were over an hour late. This is Cynthia's here. But I said that they have to come back because I got the car key. They cannot go home without me. So eventually they came back. So that's the longest way I have in my life. Usually I would leave after 30 minutes. Something must be wrong. And then maybe it's the wrong Richmond market. They came back too. But I waited because I know they'll come back because I got the car key, but they cannot go home without my key. When we wait for God, we know that He will come back for us. Or either we go and see Him before He comes back. So we need to have faith in trusting Him. Nick also said he trusted in God. That's why he has faith. That's why he can have peace, even though he's not exactly in the best situation that we want to be in. I encourage everyone to know that God has a plan for their life and that God never makes a mistake, even though it seems like he's not listening or paying attention sometimes. The biggest challenge I think we have sometimes, we think that God is too busy. He overlooked my problem. Hey, I'm here. I got this challenge in life. I need a job. I need a better boss. My boss is crazy. He's an idiot. Why am I in this situation? Why is my relationship in such a big mess? I thought God is looking after me. God must make a mistake, or He is just too busy. That's when we don't have trust in Him. God never makes a mistake, even though it seems like He is not listening or paying attention. So we need to trust in God. When we do that, trust in His promise, then we can have peace and joy while we are waiting. Adoniram Judson, Pastor Judson, he's an American evangelist missionary in the 1800s. He was one of the first missionaries sent by North America to serve in Burma. He served there as a missionary in Burma for almost 40 years. He was sent over there at the age of 25, very young. But very soon after he was sent to Burma, the war between United Kingdom and Burma started. So all the Westerners, including Pastor Judson, were thrown into the jail and torture for 20 months. Can you imagine 100 years ago, not 100, almost 150 years ago in Asia, in Burma? Even nowadays, I don't think the prison there is really comfortable. I'm sure it's not like the prison in Canada. as a foreigner, and then there's a war between United Kingdom and Burma. He was thrown in the jail. So in his letters, he told his wife he was tortured, beaten almost to death, 20 long months. So while he was waiting, I don't know what he was waiting for, to be executed or to be rescued or the war to be over. He doesn't know. But he wrote a letter to his family. So the family asked him, how is the outlook? How does it look? Well, outlook is, from us, it's obviously not very good. But he wrote this back. The future is as bright as the promises of God. It's only bright if you're walking in the promises of Him. When we trust in Him, believing in Him, then we can have peace and joy while we are waiting for His hope, for His promises to be fulfilled while we're waiting. But while in this waiting period, we still suffer. At least we still have to go through life and death. No one can escape death. We still have to suffer our situations, struggles in life. Paul went on and say that, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This one word, verse 13, it has all of God's promises in it. While we are waiting for this hope, we believe that God has a purpose in our life. We believe that God is looking after us. We have this hope, abound in this hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Spirit who has been given to us. We overlooked that while we are waiting on earth in this body, groaning, maybe facing challenges in life, that the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is within us. It's right next to us. So when Jesus departed the disciples, he said that he will send a counselor, the Holy Spirit, counselor, comforter. The Holy Spirit is here praying for us, interceding for us. The Holy Spirit himself pray for us, groan for us. The Holy Spirit shows us that God loves us. It is the Holy Spirit that can give us peace and joy while we are waiting for God's promises, hope to be fulfilled. That's why the Christians, we Christians, we still have to face grieving in life, but yet we can have peace and joy at the same time. It is a mystery. It is the mystery of the gospel. I really like this painting. You all know this is Daniel being thrown into the lion den. As you can see, if you and I were thrown into among the lions, I don't think we will have much hope in them. I don't think we have much peace. But you look at Daniel. He's looking up to the sky while he's not looking at the lions. His situation is in not exactly the best situation he wants to be in. While he's waiting, he did not look at the lions. He looked at God. That's why he's in peace. I'm not sure if it's in joy, but I'm sure he's in peace from this painting. He's in peace because his eyes focus on God. Hope of God, not the lions. That's why he can have this peace and joy. So brothers and sisters, you may be in a less than ideal situation. You may not be able to sleep well tonight, you think. There are life challenges. It's okay for you, Pastor, to tell us to look upon this eternal hope in heaven, but I need to face the challenge today, tomorrow. So keep your eyes on God's promise, God's hope. Then believing in him and the Holy Spirit in us will comfort us. Then we can have joy and peace. Pastor told us that earth is bearable because there is hope. Hell is unendurable because all hope has fled. Heaven is eternal beatitude because hope is there in radiant fulfillment. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord. I will always have hope. I will praise you. While we're waiting, we'll praise you more and more. Let's pray. Father, help all of us. Some of us here may be in a difficult situation at this time. Help us to look upon you for this hope in heaven. But yet today, on this earth, right here, that the Holy Spirit will comfort them, that they will find peace, love, joy, by believing in you, that you is caring for them. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.